Thank you all very much. Very much. So, we are about to go into the eighth month of the year. I want you to think back to the first month of the year, to the first day of the first month of the year. In fact, to the night before the first day of the first month of the year. Anybody know when that was? New Year's Eve. There's something that we do on New Year's Eve traditionally. Not our burning bowl. There's something that our society does on New Year's Eve. We make resolutions. Last year at this time, I told you not to make resolutions. Because on the first day of the first month of the new year, we are right in the middle of winter and nothing is growing. Farmers do not plant their crops then. Why? Because there's nothing to cause growth. There's nothing. The sun is low, it's cold outside, and we're tired at that time. It's winter. Everything on the planet is resting at winter. And naturally, it's darker, longer. We don't even want to get out of bed. So why would we want to plant things then? What should we be doing at that time? Anybody remember? Dreaming. Exactly. That is the time of year when it's dark and cold outside and we sleep longer and we nap and we drink tea and we have quiet one-to-one conversations with friends. Things feel cozy and close and warm. That's the time to dream about what it is we might want to plant in our lives. What might we want to grow? We might want to grow a new home. We might want to grow a new attitude. We might want to grow a new faith, a new understanding. There are lots of things we can want to grow. But traditionally, that period of time that we make resolutions doesn't work very well for us. It's not a good time of the year. So I'm reminding you of this so that you can remember going into this next cycle to enjoy the dream time, to really enjoy the time of contemplating all the possibilities. Because we don't really do that. We finish the holiday season, which has us totally swamped, and then we go right into trying to grow something else with no break. It's really pretty easy to figure out why most people's New Year's resolutions don't happen. Because we're not living in concert with all of the gifts that we have through divine creation. This planet that we walk on, there's a big debate about whether we're stewards of the planet or we have dominion over the planet. And I would say neither of those are true. I would say we are one with the planet. Nature is us. We could have a big sign on our store that says that. Nature, we are nature, just like everything else. And we walk on this planet and we are affected by what's happening beneath our feet and around us. We are affected in lots of different ways. So we're in the middle of summer now, and something has happened between then and now. At Easter, at our 11 o'clock service, we did a little planting project. Do you remember? What did we plant? Sunflowers. Did anybody tell Donna that when she made the arrangement this morning? No. No. But those are the kind of little miracles that I notice that happen here all the time. That things that we're talking about show up in Connie's music, show up on the platform in the most amazing ways. You were given the invitation to dream until Easter. And at Easter, we did a planting exercise. And we did that exercise so that we could really observe what it takes to grow something. How many of you did grow something? Look around. A little. How many of you have that something still growing? A couple of you. Is it easy to grow something in our lives? It's not. When you take that hard-shelled seed and you put it in soil, you have to start with some rich soil, something worthy of growing in. So you can't just take an idea and not give it any foundation. You have to have some rich soil in your life. How are you going to do this? What are you bringing to this project? Because the soil is the love in your heart. It's where this seed is planted, in this place where love grows, where you will pay attention. And that's the very first thing that goes wrong when we decide that we're going to grow something in our lives, is we start out with a good intention and no attention. And that's the cost of the invoice. We have to pay attention if we want to grow something in our lives. So we give attention to that seed. We plant it in our hearts. We continually come back to it. We remember that it's there. We begin to soften it. We soften it. How do you soften a seed with a hard shell? Water. Water. We soften it with water. So the flow of emotions are what we relate to water. We soften it with our emotions. We soften it with our constant ebb and flow of desire. This is really what I want. I am really willing to do what I need to do to make this happen. This is really what is calling me. I am paying attention, and not just paying attention in an open-end and stagnant way, but I'm paying attention by giving love to this, by paying attention to it, by looking at it, feeling into it, thinking about it. And we soften that shell. And once that shell is softened, it pops. And when it opens, there is already something alive inside. When you get past that place of believing, I don't know if I can get this done, when you actually have put enough love and enough heart and enough contemplation into something, that concept in your life is received by the divine. It's received in the universal field. That growth is already there because you began it in your heart. And manifestation begins that way. And this is important because we are creatures who give meaning and create. That's what we do. So what is the process? The process is laid out for us in nature. We are shown how to do this. We just pay attention to what's around us. So we use that love in our heart, that desire in our heart, that emotion. We weed out anything that's in the way. And when that little seedling starts to grow, it has to grow through the soil in the dark. Have you ever felt like you were trying to manifest something in your life and you were stuck in the dark? Yeah. It happens, doesn't it? I can't see how this could possibly happen. Anybody ever said that? I can't see. Well, neither can that little seedling. That little seedling has not eyes to see sunlight, but it does somehow feel warmth. It does somehow reach out with an awareness that there is an up and there is a down. And that up feels warmer than down feels. And it really is the warmth of the sun that calls it up to the surface. Otherwise, it could grow upside down, right? But it grows up because of the warmth. So where is the warmth when we're manifesting something? It's in the divine light. It's when you go into your heart first and you find your own desire, and then you follow that desire to see, how is this taking me to the holy? How is this developing my character as the divine being that I am? How am I going to use this in a way that brings forth the holy in action in me? And that warmth, because it feels good. When you know that what you're creating and manifesting in your life is going to make the world a better place, it feels good to do it. It feels empowering to do it. It feels purposeful to do it, and it feels important to do it. And all of that is the divine presence, the warmth of spirit calling you forward, calling you up through the darkness till you suddenly break the surface. And now you can see something. You can see something and it feels so good that you kind of have to just open up and take it in. Something good is happening. And when we reach that point, when we reach that point where we're opening into the goodness of our own heart, into the divine that's expressing through us, when we reach that point, we grow exponentially. Things happen really fast. Things around us tend to clear, and we grow up and up, and we spread out. And after just a little while, something comes to fruit. Some little green ball of something that's going to be yummy or smell good or look beautiful. Something begins to appear in our life. Something that tells us we've been up to something. We have just completed and are completing the ripening time. And if you garden, you'll know that some things are beginning, they're turning colors, aren't they? Things are beginning to turn colors. Things are sweetening and they're softening. And after a while, what's there will be nourishing. We'll be able to nourish ourselves with it. This is important. Most of the time in our society, we don't celebrate harvest until the 11th month. And at that, it's the end of the 11th month. Thanksgiving. But August, end of July, beginning of August, is first harvest. And people who grew up on farms know this, because this is the time of year that they were able to bring in the first fruits. So we have a first harvest and a second harvest and a third harvest. And that first harvest, this time of year, was really important to our ancestors when they were growing things. It was really important because they had been living without anything fresh. All the way till now, through the winter, they had used up all their resources and they were down to things that were dry and crunchy, not sweet and soft and juicy. This is the sweet, soft, juicy time of life. It's important to know that, to look at your life and say, where is my life juicy right now? What is really exciting that's happening in my life? What is sweet in my life? Am I noticing? Because what happens if you leave the fruit on the vine? It might be used to nourish nature. The squirrels might take it, the birds might take it, but you won't. It's not that the energy that we've put out results in nothing being good. But if we don't continue to pay attention all the way along, we don't notice that something sweet and juicy is happening in our lives. And we miss it. We miss all the work, all the effort, everything that's happened. There was this guy who had like my last guy, had a farm. I haven't even started yet. I have you well trained now. There was this guy that had a farm, and he, like my other guy, got it from his uncle. But this uncle had done nothing on the farm, and he went to the farm, and he looked at it, and it was like a creek bed. There were rocks, and everything was overgrown, and it was a mess. So he spent several months loading all the rocks out and cultivating good soil, mixing things in, putting fertilizer out, doing everything that was necessary to create a garden. And then he began to grow his plants. And he grew beautiful tomatoes and cucumbers and zucchini and beans, vines and vines of beans. And he was a regular churchgoer, and so he went to church and he said to his minister, "Come on out. I have more than I can use. Come on out and get some food and see how beautiful this garden is. It's pretty amazing." And so the preacher went out and he said, "Wow, look at those tomatoes." Notice when I tell this, the preacher is always a man. "Look, look at those tomatoes. God really blessed you with those tomatoes. That is something else. And look at that zucchini, man, you could feed the whole neighborhood. God is going to be so pleased with what you've done here. And these beans, There's not a bad one on the vine. Clearly, you are a God-fearing, prayerful man. Look what has happened. And with every sentence, the man's face got longer and longer and longer. And finally, when the preacher stopped talking, he said, "Preacher, you should have come out here and seen what it looked like when God was in charge." That's a Ronald Reagan joke. It is. We work really hard at what we cultivate in our lives. We are the divine in action. It's not something outside of us that's taking those seeds and making miracles. It's us cultivating the divine that we are, bringing forth the holy that we live and breathe and move. It's us. There's a divine force out there we can keep separate if we want. If you are one of those people who says, "Yeah, but there's this God source outside of me that I have a really strong connection with," great. What I'm saying to you is you can hold that out there outside of you for the rest of your life, or you can realize you are that. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't move, breathe, or be. We are the divine in motion. We are something so much more than worshipers out here looking at something bigger than us. We are the living force of the holy. So when we plant something, it has purpose and value in the world. When we pay attention to it and we grow it, the world becomes a better place. When we cultivate something that makes us smile, something that brings us joy, something juicy and tasty and nourishing, the world becomes juicy and tasty and nourished because of who we are and what we do. So this is the time, folks. This is the time to think about that first harvest. And first harvest can be really small. Sometimes first harvest is just that first little plant that brings something forward. In September, we'll talk about how to spread that bigger harvest out amongst the community. But right now, this is just for you. So pay attention to your life. Look and see, something is blossoming forth. Something is there that is beautiful, that is a blessing, that is going to nourish your spirit. And if you don't know what it is, it's only going to be because you haven't been paying attention. I have some quotes for you. "We reap what we sow. Choose what you nourish carefully." We reap what we sow. Choose what you nourish carefully. That's anonymous. Anne Morrow Lindbergh said, "One cannot collect all the beautiful shells on the beach. One can collect only a few. They are more beautiful if you collect only a few." Sometimes we think we need that great big harvest, don't we? Albert Schweitzer said, "It is not always granted to the sower to see the harvest." It is not always granted to the sower to see the harvest. And Rudolf Steiner said, "Our task is to harvest from the mortal world fruits for the immortal." And finally, this last quote has no author. "You reap what you sow. Life is like a boomerang. Our thoughts, deeds, and words return to us sooner or later with astounding accuracy."